The reading comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they'd been told.
We're going to look at those verses that we read a few moments ago, a little while ago, from Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And I'm thinking in particular about the responses that different people involved in this story made to the arrival of Jesus, this baby. And of course, the arrival of a baby wasn't an unusual thing back then or today. I have a daughter who's a midwife, and she'll tell you, you know, this sort of thing happens all the while, and it doesn't happen at convenient times either. You may have a number of women in labour all at the same time, but you may find that they all want to actually give birth in the same moments. And so this has been a part of human life since the beginning of time. And yet, those who saw this new child, they knew there was something special, something different about this child. So the first person I want to think about this morning is Joseph. And as I've said, I think I said a couple of weeks ago, we have not a single word that that Joseph said. He never speaks at all in terms of what we have in the biblical accounts. But we do know something of the feelings that he felt, certainly his actions speak of how he must have felt as this story of this child unfolded. What were his feelings when he heard that Mary was to have a baby? Now, we understand that Mary and Joseph were betrothed, and the closest to that we can get to in our culture is engaged. But within Jewish culture, betrothal was different, because to get unbetrothed, to end that betrothal, was effectively a divorce. So it was immensely shameful to have to end a betrothal. But Joseph was prepared to do this, because he believed that, well, he knew that he had not had sexual relations with Mary. And so the only conclusion he could jump to, or that he could come to rather, was that she had been unfaithful to him. So imagine the feelings he must have had. Surprise, shock, disappointment. This woman who I love is not the person I thought she was. And he probably knew that he would carry this pain and this hurt throughout the rest of his life for what he understood Mary to have done to him. And then, of course, the story unfolds. And an angel comes to Joseph and says, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for what has happened to her is of the Holy Spirit." And so Joseph was prepared to act on what he discovered. I shared with the leaders that Joseph was prepared to change his view and to act differently because of what God's Holy Spirit told him. He was prepared to move on from his hurt and his anger and shock, and was prepared to accept this child. What would it take for us to change our minds on something where we have been hurt, let down, disappointed? What would it take to change our view and for us to be prepared to really see things differently? And so Joseph then had to get, once he accepted the fact that this child was conceived by the Holy Spirit in Mary's body, he then had to get used to his feelings about being stepdad to God's son. Being stepdad to God's son. How did he feel about this idea that this first child of Mary's was not his own? And yet, from all that we can tell, Joseph did all he could to protect and support and love Jesus. Perhaps initially he felt overawed. Perhaps he felt bemused, you know, confused, not able to understand quite what was being asked of him. There might even have been an element of disappointment that this first child in their marriage was not his. And yet, Joseph responded to the Holy Spirit's guidance and prompting. What about when Jesus was born? How did he feel in that moment as this child arrived and it was so obvious that this was a cosmic event? The angels in the sky, the arrival of the shepherds, between a year and 2 years later, the coming of these strange, exotic wise men, the Magi. All of these things must have said to Joseph, this child is special. And this is a cosmic event that God has brought about. Was he filled then with joy and wonder at what had happened within his family? So, that's my reflections on how Joseph may have felt. What about the shepherds? What about those shepherds out in the fields? Now, shepherds back in those days were really the bottom of the pile. They were regarded as unclean because you couldn't leave your sheep somewhere to go into town every Sabbath to go to the synagogue and worship as a good Jewish man. You were out in the fields day in, day out. It was a hard life. And you had to have your wits about you because there were wild animals who were looking for an easy meal of one of your lambs. This wasn't an easy job. They were regarded, as I say, as the lowest strata of society in Jewish culture. What were their feelings when they were told of a saviour born in a manger in Bethlehem? Initially this angel that appeared to them. And then, of course, the heavenly host. That was hundreds, if not thousands, of angels all appearing with this angel. I mean, they might have thought they were having some sort of hallucination. Perhaps they were disbelieving. But there must have been an element of excitement. But I don't know, in the long term, perhaps there was also some disappointment. I don't know. Because they saw this amazing thing, and then, of course, things went quiet. For 30 years, nothing much more was heard about this promised saviour come to the world. What about when they reached the stable? How were they when they reached the stable? Did they question whether they should go in because, you know, people weren't always happy to have a smelly shepherd around the place? Were they, I would suggest, they were filled with wonder that they should have been chosen to see this newborn Messiah, this promised one. I think they were filled with joy and wonder, but also perhaps confusion. What do we do now with this knowledge and this understanding we have? And of course, in one of the gospel texts, it says, they ran, they left, and they said, let's go and tell everyone about what we have seen this night. And I like to think that those shepherds, perhaps the younger ones in particular, because of course life expectancy wasn't that great back then, particularly if you were out in the fields at night. But I like to think that perhaps an elderly shepherd or two, when Jesus started his ministry of healing and teaching and all of the rest of what he did, there was an elderly shepherd or two that remembered a baby born 30 years previously, who it was promised would bring good news for all men and women. The last person I just wanted to reflect on was this man, Simeon. Simeon's whole life had been about waiting for the promised Messiah. So he had spent his life waiting and hoping. And perhaps when you've spent a lifetime doing this, perhaps you get a bit jaded. As you're drawing towards the end of your life, you may be asking the question, Lord, you placed this desire to wait on you, this burden of waiting and hoping. But where is the fruit of my wait, my hoping? Perhaps once again, he was weary of waiting, becoming desperate. I haven't got many more years left. And as I say, questioning, Lord, where is your promised Messiah? And then when he held Jesus in his arms and he said those wonderful words, now, Lord, your servant, you may take your servant because I have seen the salvation of God's people. He held the baby Jesus, knowing that his wait was over, and he was ready now to go and be with the Lord his God. I think he was thankful. His words suggest he was rejoicing, ready to meet God. Still today, people respond in different ways to the coming of the Lord as a tiny baby. And all of those feelings that we've looked at with these three different groups of people, they happen today as well. People are weary, desperate, questioning, and all of the other things that we have thought of. But I would suggest to you that Jesus came into this world as a light in the darkness, into the spiritual darkness. Jesus came to a disappointed world to bring hope. And you know, a candle is a great example of this hope, because a candle can flicker. A candle sometimes can almost seem as though it's going out. And yet, a candle flame in a dark room is very clear to see. And there may be moments when we feel weary and desperate. Lord, where is your hope? Where is your light in this world? But we can look to the light, the candle shine of the coming of Jesus, which sometimes almost seems as though it's so fragile, and yet we can look to it, knowing that in it we find our hope, we find the love of God for us personally and for our world. Amen.